The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
7:15, wanted to do some emails of the day. And those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Central Point Family Dentistry is right next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, and it's on Freeman Way. And while you wait, crowns available. They have an in-house lab available, which is very cool. In fact, you can even ask Dr. Steve to show you. I thought it was really cool when I watched my crown being formed. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. A couple of emails have come in about various medical conversations that we've discussed the last few days. There's been a lot of this going on. And I'm going to give an email of the day to Bob and Mary Hayworth. Bob Hayworth, of course, we know him, banjo player, Kingston Trio, good guy, local boy, has done well. Although he's no longer a boy, you a man, right, Bob? But he says, Bill, that was an interesting interview that you had on the subject yesterday. This was about certificate of need, how difficult it is to get a doctor, or you can't build a hospital without getting permission of the other people. Regarding the woman who was banned from Providence for complaining about her cancer treatment, I had a similar, though not so overwhelming, experience. I was referred by my primary doc to Providence Urology. They gave me an appointment and handed me a card with the appointment date and time. When I appeared for my noon appointment on that day, I was told, no, your appointment's for 2 o'clock. I showed the receptionist the appointment card that said noon, for which she had no explanation. I had already scheduled my afternoon based on this appointment there on my card, and I made the comment, well, this really effed up my schedule for the day. And when I called them a few days later to reschedule, I was asked to hold for the office manager. She came on the phone and told me that I was not allowed or welcome at Providence Urology ever again because I had told the receptionist that they had really effed up my schedule, which he quoted back to me. By the way, I think Bob used the complete word. She said that my language was unacceptable, even as she quoted me with those same words. So my doctor is now trying to get me into Asante Urology, maybe in a couple of months. My doctor also informed me that the Providence Urology office has now closed. Poor management. So anyway, Asante is my only option. I would say that there is a need for more than one urology department in Medford, and I would think that Providence could easily pass a certificate of need requirement. On a related pebble in my shoe subject, we all know what the F blank blank K means, so why are we not allowed to use the actual word? The word appears many times in my book, spelled out with no asterisks, and Hellgate Press allowed it to be published. When will the FCC relent? It just seems so hypocritical to replace that word with the, you know, abbreviation. So what's the point? Just because you replace the UC with, you know, dash dash, doesn't really disguise the word. Why not use the whole word? There's more obscurity in that. Perhaps if I had told the receptionist at Providence Urology that they had really F asterisk asterisk K-E'd my schedule, I wouldn't have been banned? Maybe I'll start using that in speech. You make this hard to read the email, Bob. But, you know, your point is well taken. I don't know. I'm actually okay with the banning of those particular words on broadcast because, I don't know. You know something, Bob? It has become such a punctuation mark for so much of the country. Everywhere you go, it's like, you're right, it's used just like a punctuation mark, and nobody even seems to care anymore. Maybe in the FCC deregulated world of Donald Trump, they won't care about the F-bomb any longer. Hey, he dropped a lot of F-bombs in those rallies, didn't he? I don't know. I'm kind of okay without using it. Not that I don't ever use it. Yeah, I do. I will admit that, in fact, Linda's even said, potty mouth, kerflush. Of course, we've both been guilty of that, a little bit of that. I'm not proud of it. But maybe we could be just a little more creative with one another. And that's the problem with the F-bomb. The F-bomb really is it's not particularly creative. And now it's at the point where it's not even all that shocking. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED.
When choosing a contractor, you need a professional.
Good guys, guns.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
James Fox joins me, leading voice within the UFO UAP community, has his eye-opening films out there. There's The Phenomenon in the past, also Moment of Contact, and TV movies. I Know What I Saw Out of the Blue Sky, covering investigations of UFOs, and there is a brand new one out now called The Program. James, welcome back to the program. Good morning, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on. I can't believe I just made another UFO doc. Am I out of my mind?
I don't know. You seem to be pretty good at it. I spent an hour and a half or so watching it over the weekend. And the thing is, though, is that now, instead of you talking about what does the government know it's not telling us, this time around you turned the camera on a lot of government people this time, didn't you, when it comes to the making of the program, as it were? Tell us about that, please.
Absolutely, and I found myself in situations, positions that I never, ever dreamed of. It's incredible what's happening right now.
How many people did you end up interviewing within government for this latest one? Because, I mean, it looks like a laundry list of people, and these aren't loons. These are not crazy people you were talking to.
No, definitely not. Oh, gosh. 8, 9, 10?
Mm-hmm. NASA administrator, Stanford University people, Royal Air Force officer, Craig Lindsay. I mean, they're just all in there. What is going to make
physicist?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, physicist.
Oh, physicist.
You know, physicist. I think it's a gathering of the intellectual heavyweights within both the scientific community and the intel communities. This stuff's coming out. That's what's happening right now.
Now, why is it coming out now? Is it because it can't be hidden any longer with everybody walking around with a phone, or is there something deeper and darker possibly going on here?
You know, I think, you know, there's been efforts in the past. If you look back at Ruppelt, who ran Project Blue Book back in 1952, I don't know what year he wrote a book, maybe 53, trying to tell the public about the massive flyover of Washington, D.C. back in two consecutive weekends in July of 52. You had the former head of the CIA, Roscoe Hellencutter, come out in the 60s in the New York Times, warning us that this stuff is real. You know, and there have been a number of attempts in the past. There were the United Nations hearings in 1978. A lot of American officials were involved with. It just didn't stick, but it's sticking now. I think in protest in 2017, a couple of intel insiders, in protest of excessive secrecy, decided to take matters into their own hands, and they walked out of the Pentagon with evidence and put it on the front page of the New York Times. And they just haven't been able to put the genie back in the bottle. And yeah, it's coming out. And there are enough people, I think, feeling like it's safe. There's legislation being written and introduced by a bipartisan group of lawmakers, you know, Schumer and Gillibrand and Rounds and Rubio are writing this. I mean, you go look at the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and within 2022, 2023, which is actually for 2023-24, the legislation is right there for whistleblower protection and going after legacy program stuff, reverse engineering, recovered technologies. I mean, it's all right there in black and white. I mean, it's happening.
Do you think that the drone hysteria, which is going on right now, might be connected to some of this technology? What do you think?
I've been really, initially I was kind of laughing and thinking, oh, this obviously has clearly a conventional or prosaic explanation. But I dug in a little deeper and I contacted some people I know within the intel, the FBI. And I'm like, what is going on here? And they're like, well, it's complicated. Some of them can be explained. Some of them exhibit a technology that's conventional, albeit highly advanced technology, but it's conventional. They make noise, but their loiter time is hours. There are reports of very credible reports from a police officer and Coast Guard of 50 of these objects coming in off the ocean. They go dark. Some of them have gone dark when flown upon them by helicopter. FLIR cameras having difficulties picking up their signals. So it's not an easy explanation. I think that some of them can be explained and misidentifications, but there are others that truly exhibit a technology that sort of define a conventional explanation as of right now.
You know, James, I think one of the most interesting parts of this documentary, and there's a lot of interesting parts, but the one that made me sit up there was the one about being out in the desert. And who was that was out in the desert? And the guy comes running up. They think he's blue, and they're going, he's got no ears. And he's in a military outfit, a U.S. military uniform of some sort, right?
Crazy, crazy story. I remember other intel insiders that I was working with there go, "It's wild, James. I understand it's wild, but this guy checks out. He's willing to do a public lie detector test publicly. He's willing to testify under oath." You know, which there are ramifications for lying to Congress under oath. He's willing to give the other necessary details needed to verify his claims, provided he's given immunity. His background checks out. I mean, you know, and look, there have been close encounters. And this is not me saying this. This is the United States Air Force saying this, documented since the 1940s and certainly the 1950s within Project Blue Book, the Air Force's investigatory wing of their investigations on the phenomenon, dating right there in plain sight.
Yeah, but it also seems as if our governments, maybe world governments for that matter, are partnering in some cases, you think, with some individuals that are not of this world?
One thing that I've learned in all my 30 years of investigating is that you cannot, just because something sounds super outlandish and absolutely impossible, you cannot just categorically dismiss it. The phenomenon is highly complex. There's a lot going on, and there are extremely credible reports of close encounters of the third kind dating back to at least the 1950s, possibly a lot earlier, that are in the document in the Air Force's own file.
All right. I got about 15 seconds. How do people get this documentary? I found it thought-provoking.
Amazon, Apple TV, you can go to my ex site, formerly known as Twitter, at James C. Fox, C as in Charles Fox, at James C. Fox. I've also posted other various platforms that it's available on that site.
Very good. It's called The Program, exploring the unprecedented bipartisan congressional efforts to uncover what the intelligence agencies really know about all this. James, thank you so much. Be well. Take care.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
You bet. It is 729 at KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show. We're going to be breaking for news here in just a moment. And maybe taking more of your calls, talking with Herman. We got a lot going on today, for sure.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Ballots in Josephine County due today in the RECMED.
7:30. Decommissioning all those platforms. I don't know. Maybe with new technology, you could restart some of those oil platforms, but we wouldn't want to do that. Right, Ron? Right, Merck? All right. We talk with David. David, you wanted to weigh in on James Fox, the documentary we were talking about called The Program. What are you thinking?
Man, I just think, you know, thank goodness we have Elon Musk, and I hope that Elon Musk and Donald Trump can unite the planet under a one world government to take us to the Galactic Federation and protect us from these aliens. Okay,
you have those kind of suspicions too, not about Donald Trump, but you know, you have to wonder if inadvertently this is what this is the drive for, because that's been something which is always in the back of my mind, because it'll be the next threat, right? And what's the next threat for? Well, if you're going to have the next threat, if you're tired of the divisiveness in the world, what would be the biggest uniter, right? Biggest uniter is them. There they are. Right, David?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? And thank goodness that, you know, the elite are letting Donald Trump dismantle them through democracy. I mean, this is very convenient for us to form this one world government. Hmm. You know, we're going to get these elites out. They let us vote out the elites to take down all these bureaucracies. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
One set of elites replaced with another set of elites, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can vote out all these overlords. It's amazing. It's so handy. Democracy wins.
Okay. Well, I hope we're wrong about that. I hope we're wrong. And I do get a little bit concerned. This is my issue with Elon. Why anyone could trust Elon Musk farther than you could throw him. David, Elon Musk exists for one reason and one reason only. You know what that is?
What? Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, tax breaks on the EV. Nobody would be talking about Tesla today if it hadn't been for everybody writing $7,500 hot checks to every dimwit that wanted to burp out a Tesla into their driveway, okay? And now, not saying it's a bad car, all right, but there are better electric cars out there. My concern about this is that, you know, a year or two ago, the right was just like, you're going, well, you know, he's just the head grifter. And they were right. He's like one of the biggest grifters of all time. And now the biggest grifter of all time is in the process of getting the grift out of the government. Aren't you a little suspicious? Just a little bit?
My spidey senses went off. Musk is not this entrepreneurial scientist. He's a public figurehead being promoted for some ultimate purpose. And the ultimate purpose, I suspect, will be, he needs to be the part of this tech. We're going to have to come up with some good tech to take us up to the aliens.
Oh, yeah. Well, I get it. But still, remember, now he's talking about that the subsidies on the electric cars need to go after he's built the company and destroyed everybody else competing with him for the most part. All right.
He didn't build the company. He bought the term founder. Okay. It has nothing to do with Nikola Tesla. It's all a big puppet show.
All right. Okay. So I'm glad to see you're just a little bit suspicious about the people that were putting in charge of fixing us.
A little. I just think people, the minute you're supposed to believe that the elites let Trump, let the democratic process let Trump in and Trump's going to dismantle it. I mean, how can people believe that at this point? It's insane. I'm sorry.
It's still going to be an interesting 4 years, and I'm hoping that a lot of good stuff gets done. All I'm saying is just watch, okay? Just watch. There'll be some good things, and there'll probably be some other things that are just into a different grift. That's what I'm thinking, okay? We'll talk about that in more. I don't know if this is Herman or not. Herman may be standing by. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This would be Gregory out in Shady Cove.
Hey, Gregory, go ahead. What's on your mind, huh?
Yeah, UFOs. I'm wondering if any of the other listeners have seen the white buses lately full of aliens.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
In fact, I
had reports the other day of someone seeing them at the Red Lobster in town. Gregory, you disappeared. I have a feeling that the powers that be took you out. We go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
It's Joel from the Iron Gate.
Hey, Joel. Joel's in the Iron Gate. You're going to have to yell real loud. The string on your cell phone is not working here. Go ahead. I can't hear you. I'm sorry, Joel. I don't know what's going on with your cell service in the Iron Gate, but it's a tough one, okay? Stand by. We'll try to get through. Herman should be joining me here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking ethics charges, the wonderfulness of ethics charges and more.
It's amazing. What's right under your floor can impact your whole house. Musty smells, wall cracks.
At liveattheArmory.com, 21 and over.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rental Garage, and I'm on KMED.
Three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning.
Yes, and the Christmas gift to
and what was
to Herman Bertschinger is that you get your life back. Isn't that right, Herman? After Christmas, that's it, right? You are done as a Josephine County Commissioner, but we always enjoy talking with you. Yeah, everything has been going on here.
Like the old Boston song, I'm going to take the time to do all the things I never had time to do before.
Oh, is that Don't Look Back? Don't Look Back, that song? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, something tells me, though, that you will – I don't think you're going to completely divest yourself of politics. I don't see you doing that. Do you?
I've got a foggy crystal ball right now, I can't tell you.
Okay. All right. Hey, wanted to talk with you, though, this morning about the interesting influence of or the Ethics Commission of the state of Oregon, because I couldn't help but notice over a number of years here with various elected officials that there's been that weaponization of the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. I think in the state of Oregon, the Ethics Commission has been weaponized. I don't know if the commission tries to weaponize itself, but where the filing of ethics complaints seems to be the weaponization, right? Because anybody can file them, and they get filed quite often here in Southern Oregon, but very little seems to happen. What's going on?
So let's talk about the Ethics Commission itself. And the Ethics Commission is actually a very good thing for Oregon because it holds politicians accountable. Incredible. And it's always been made up, when we were in the Senate, we kind of overhauled it. So it's made up of eight members. So there's four caucuses in the legislature. There's a Republican and Democrat caucus in the House, and there's a Republican and Democrat caucus in the Senate. Each caucus gets to appoint two people. So it's basically eight Republicans and, or four Republicans and four Democrats reside on the Ethics Commission.
So it is truly a bipartisan commission, right?
Well, you're getting ahead. You're getting a little far ahead of yourself here, Bill.
I am.
Because when Tina Kotek became governor, she changed that. And she added one more person from the governor's office.
Oh, okay. So that makes
five
it
Democrats. Yes.
Okay, so that makes it five Democrats, four Republicans. Okay, now we understand. We get it.
Yeah.
All right.
And remember what I've always said: Kotek is probably the most partisan politician I've ever met in my life. And this is another example of it because it's went for decades at eight. It takes six votes of the commission to move a complaint forward. And then there can be fines and things like that if they do find the findings.
Okay.
But here recently in Josephine County, and the Courier puts it out, Josephine County has the most ethics complaints. Well, they're right. We probably do because so many people have filed them. I was trying to figure that out this last week, and I'm going to safely say it's somewhere between 16 and 20 complaints in the last 3 years. And what the Courier doesn't tell you is that they've all been dismissed. Okay?
But you see, that's what makes me wonder if the Ethics Commission, if ethics complaints are really being used properly in a way. And the reason I bring this up is that you have 16 filed or a bunch of them filed, and they all get dismissed, that would seem to indicate that there wasn't much to start with. But the way the media will report it is that the ethics complaint, the process is the punishment. That's kind of what I was getting into, what I was thinking after a while.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. It's a pain in the neck to go through the whole process. So how does the process work? Well, once the complaint is filed, it's assigned to an investigator. And if the investigator sees just a glimmer of merit, and it doesn't have to be much, then it'll go to the Ethics Commission. And if they see that there's any evidence, then they will move it into the where it's investigated. And then coming out of the investigation, it'll go back to the Ethics Commission, and they'll rule if it's to be dismissed or if they need to take action on it. But ironically, in Josephine County, the lion's share of these ethics complaints over the last few years has been by one individual, and that's a Mr. J.J. Schofield. Now, Mr. Schofield used to work as the HR director for Josephine County.
Now, I know that name. Didn't he go to work for Jackson County recently?
Yes, he's the HR director for Jackson County now.
Oh.
And he's been filing ethics complaints like crazy. He's also attacked the commissioners or accused, made accusations at the Wednesday business sessions, in the comments of the Daily Courier, and on social media. So he really has an axe to grind with the commissioners.
Well, I mean, you're allowed to have an axe to grind, though, I suppose. I do find it interesting, though, you know, you can do that. But this is why, though, the accusation, the filing of an ethics complaint doesn't mean anything until the commission actually says there's some smoke behind the accusations, or that there's fire behind the smoke, right? And that's what we have to remind ourselves of, I think.
Right. Well, what the ethics commission does is either dismisses it, or they say, yes, it's warranted and we're going to take some action.
Have any of them been warranted?
Not as of yet. And still, Mr. Schofield just filed a couple more on Commissioner West and Commissioner Bliss. And so that those will be pending. Okay. But, you know, it's a form, in my opinion, when it's like this, it's a form of harassment. Now, when I was in the Senate and we led the walkout and all that hoopla and everything, I got a barrage of ethics complaints. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. There were so many that I had to start a legal defense fund, which was challenging. hire some good counsel, and they represented me. And at the end of the process, every single one of them was dismissed without merit. So, you know.
Well, you've been saying, though, that the Ethics Commission is a good thing. It's there to hold elected officials accountable, and I can appreciate that, though.
Right.
Should there be a higher bar to file a complaint, though?
Well, you would think when somebody has filed as many complaints as Mr. Schofield, the Ethics Commission would, you would think there would be, you know, it's a form of harassment, in my opinion. It's a form of harassment. And
But it appears to be perfectly legal, and it's part of the process. But this is kind of like the, you know, one of my concerns. And by the way, as you have just demonstrated earlier on, the Ethics Commission in the state of Oregon is controlled by Democrats. You have four Democrats and one appointed by Governor Kotek, who is arguably going to be a Democratic leaning. So even then, Republicans are in the minority on the Ethics Commission. And yet, even with that kind of bias built into the system, they're still dismissing most, if not all, of these ethics complaints that have been filed.
Yeah, in fact, we had three ethics complaints that we had to deal with on Friday. Actually, four, because there was. So how it works, there'll be an ethics complaint against all three commissioners, but that's three cases. There's three case numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So you count those as three. There was four, I think, on Friday, and the Ethics Commission unanimously dismissed them. Unanimously.
Wow. What could be done? Is there anything that should be done about it? I'm just asking. I'm just musing. It's like I don't want an Ethics Commission to go away, but if we have certain people that just seem to like to, you know, this is their side hobby, writing lots of ethics complaints that end up being batted down, but yet, you know, governmental officials have to end up addressing all of these, and sometimes I guess getting attorneys if they're serious enough of an accusation. It does give me pause somewhat that there is an issue, that it's being weaponized.
The taxpayer's paying for all this, Bill.
Oh, okay. Do they pay for the attorneys that you have to get to defend on something?
On some of it, but the taxpayer pays for the Ethics Commission.
Uh-huh.
And the taxpayers pay for our staff that has to deal with all this stuff and look at it. So at the end of the day, the taxpayer's flipping the bill.
Yeah. I guess what we have to remember is that filing of an ethics complaint is kind of like when people file a lawsuit. Anybody can file a lawsuit, right? You know, anybody can file a lawsuit.
Yeah, but when you file a lawsuit, you can get countersued. Okay.
Oh, uh-huh.
And you can, you might may be paying for the other person's legal fees. So, but in the Ethics Commission, in this example, there's no recourse by the elected official. You know, I can see having a couple ethics complaints, but when they're, you know, just a barrage of them by the same person, it's obviously the intent is harassment.
Hmm.
So
how about this? I mean, I'm always looking at a way to smooth this out. Would it be possible or reasonable to say, okay, you can file one or two ethics complaints a year as an individual and then, you know, kind of leave it at that rather than, you know, most of the...
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what the solution. The other thing that's been weaponized is BOLI, Bureau of Labor and Industry, BOLI complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And BOLI has so many complaints now that they can't even work through them, and they're going to be asking the legislature for millions of dollars because they're just overwhelmed with complaints. And BOLI complaints should be limited to, like harassment in the workplace or wages and stuff like that.
Someone doesn't pay you your wages. But what kind of harassment suits or complaints, in your opinion, are coming in through BOLI, you know?
Well, I've had one that was filed last March, and I've never, the only people I hear about it is from the person that filed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard from BOLI. And it's, what is that? It's what, 9 months, 10 months ago? So I don't know, you know.
Well, what are the kind of things that are outside or should be outside of a BOLI complaint that are being filed anyway right now? What could actually make it better, do you think? I mean, because there's nothing wrong with a bureau that's out there trying to protect a worker from being screwed by an employer not getting their wages that they worked for and stuff. You know, I get that.
No, no,
I understand
no,
that.
No, but
you know?
here's what can happen. What I see happening now, you have a disagreement with your boss, you file a bully complaint, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once you have filed that bully complaint, you are now in a protected class. So now anything adversely your boss says or does to you can be construed as retaliation.
So you could be the absolute worst dirtbag of an employee not doing the job, and let's say working all sorts of stuff that you shouldn't be on the job, but you file a complaint against your boss through the Bureau of Labor and Industry, all of a sudden you have a get out of jail free card, right?
To a certain degree, you are protected class, and anything your boss does negatively, you can raise the flag and say retaliation.
But this is another example. This is another example, though, that under the guise of protecting people from ethical problems and nefarious behavior, the accusations, though, are the punishment, right?
Yeah, and the employees know that a bully claim can run a year to years. So during that whole period, you know, the employer has to be very, very careful of what they say or do.
Huh.
Anything. So I'll give you an example. Our health director filed a bully complaint against me in March. And how that came about is about 8 o'clock in the evening, the individual called me and said, I don't want you as my liaison. I want another commissioner. And I said, well, that's the decision of the commissioners, and that's the decision they made, and we'll have to go with that. Well, he worked me over about 3 more times with that, and I said no. And about 15 minutes later, he calls me up and says, I'm filing a bully complaint. So now I have this.
Wait a minute. So the Board of Commissioners that actually control these things, this is the democracy in action, so to speak, they wanted you to be right. The liaison to the health department. Health department guy doesn't right. like you, in other words, is what's right. happening, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so the health department thinks that they can run the county commission by filing a bully complaint against you. Is that ultimately what you're – I'm just surmising here from what you've said.
Yes. And so then the next – So now I've got to be, you know, our attorneys say, our insurance company says, well, you need to be careful, and here's the do's and don'ts, and be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go into the budget cycle, and in the budget committee, which is made up of 3 commissioners and 3 citizens, and we're figuring out the budget, which is a little tough this year, I made a motion to adjust the budget of several departments, one being the health department. The health department was $165 or $165,000, which isn't much in the grand scheme of things,
mm-hmm.
to make it all work with the law enforcement. So I made the motion, and the budget committee voted 5-1 to do that.
Now, let me guess. I want to jump ahead of you here, but let me guess then, that's considered retaliation because of the bully claim, right?
Yep, that you got it.
Okay.
So this is what's happening in Josephine County. So it is very frustrating, and I will not miss this, and I wish the new incoming commissioners all the luck in the world on addressing these types of issues.
Well, something I was talking with Commissioner West about here, and I think I've also been discussing this with you off and on, is that one of the greatest challenges I think that Josephine County is facing, because it's in a much worse financial situation than Jackson County is. We can agree on that, I think, no doubt. But there seems to be an amazing sense of entitlement by many government workers within that system, as if somehow Josephine County exists not to serve the people, but to keep all these individuals hired. Is that a fair criticism of what I see going on with all of these various complaints from the folks involved?
I would say that they feel they're very secure in their occupations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's coming up, though, against the fiscal realities. And so it will be interesting to watch what the new board will do in 2025. All right.
The problem with the fiscal realities is that the cuts are made at the lower end. It's not made at the higher end. So that, you know, that.
Oh, so you cut the nurses, but the director or the director or the bosses end up being there. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
How can that be changed? How can that be changed?
Well, you change it by combining departments, and we've done a good job at that. I think we're at the end of that. I don't think there's many more departments that you could justify combining. So we've done some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just look at these positions really hard. But because of the union contracts, we deal with four different unions and everything. You know, you make agreements with the unions how you do things. And unfortunately, it's the new person on the block is the one that gets the axe.
No. And sometimes sometimes maybe the new person is the one that should stay.
Well, yeah, because you don't get, you know, you don't get
the baggage of the entitlement class in the.
Well, you also don't get the back bench. Then when you have retirement and you have retirements all the same time, you don't have experience coming up. ODF experienced that a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, they had no depth in the agency because people weren't moving up. You need to keep people moving up through the system so they gain the experience because one day they'll be the leaders.
Agreed. All right. Herman, thanks for explaining a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes there. It's kind of interesting. And, the way that complaints are handled, both between Boley and with the Ethics Commission, you can see how it can be weaponized by individuals here and there with agendas in play. Maybe they want to talk about it.
That is of my opinion, Bill.
Yeah. Well, it looks that way. We'll see where it goes. All right. I'll be interested to see what happens because so even though you are leaving as county commission, will those complaints continue to play out even though you're gone?
Once I'm gone, it's pretty a moot point, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering what the legality of something is in which they slap your hand after the fact or say you shouldn't have or they say there is nothing to this and then they dismiss it and, you know, how it works.
Yeah. And the fines are not – the fines at the entry-level fines are very minute. They're not very much money.
All right. And we're not talking about ethics reports like, Herman or John or, Chris, they're padding their pockets. We're not talking about those kind of things yet, are we?
No. The news media loves to use it because they'll say, look at he's got three ethics complaints and a pending bully complaint.
Uh-huh.
And then when they're
and if there are complaints, well, there must be something really bad going on there with those evil Republicans that swept the elections. I think that's what's going on.
I think the way they write it in the newspapers is that you're guilty when mm-hmm. you get a complaint. Yes. Oh, you're guilty.
Yeah. Well, the accusation is the conviction, kind of like a sex offender. You know, you're accused of a sex crime, something like that. And in a court of public opinion, it's a conviction. And that's a real tough thing.
Okay? And that's why what happened to Trump this last week with ABC is really, really important because this is really the first time that a politician was able to punch back and get something.
It makes me wonder, though, if media will have to be a bit more careful because you'll have to start thinking about, were you telling something, A, you knew was wrong and that arguably there was malice in there? And Trump has kind of pierced that, hasn't he, really?
Yes, he has. It's very important. I think the news media and the newspapers better be very, very careful.
We'll see what it's like over the next 3-4 years, that's for sure. Herman, always a good talk.
Take care.
Merry Christmas, and we'll catch you at some point in 2025, okay? You be well.
All right, so you're not going to be next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, I am going to be snoring in my bed. Hopefully not snoring too loudly, okay? Because I don't have a CPAP or anything like that.
I will see you in the second week of January. Have a great Christmas.
All right, you too, Herman. Be well. Shay before 8 o'clock, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.